Hello and welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of the CF Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags. You can get pretty much any kind of flag that you could ever possibly want. It's getting nice outside again, and if you want to show off your favorite team's colors, it doesn't matter if it's the NBA, MLB, NFL, college, high school, anything that you could pretty much think of. They've got it down there at Heartland Flags. You can check out their showroom at 3719 Southwest 9th Street or check them out online at heartlandflags.com. They are one of the premier sponsors here at CycloneFanatic.com, and they are always the sponsor of the On the Trail podcast.
They are. And, you know, I actually was talking to them the other day, and they mentioned, Jared, they get a ton of site traffic from Cyclone Fanatic, which is always great to hear. But people, we don't want just site traffic. We want you going on there and placing some orders, getting some flags.
Yep.
They do a tremendous job supporting us, and we want you to support them as well. So when you're looking to get a flag, stop at heartlandflagpoles.com. Check them out.
I think if I when I get a little more motivation to put some more decorations in my apartment, I'll probably get some more flags from Heartland Flags.
That's good.
I have one. I need to get some more, though.
You need something to balance out all that Nebraska garbage that's all over your walls.
Oh, my goodness. There's not even anything in my... I don't even have anything my walls yet.
Not in your walls. It's in the office on the ground. It looks like you got plans for it, though, to be on the walls at some point. You know, you keep getting upset when I bring up Nebraska. You shouldn't. There's nothing wrong with you being a Nebraska fan. I don't know why you care.
I could say something right now, but I'm not going to say it because I'm a nice guy.
I appreciate you being nice, buddy. I appreciate it.
So we're here to talk about Iowa State's newest commit. Real Mitchell, the quarterback from California, announced his commitment on Twitter last night.
Yeah, looks like a real nice pickup for Iowa State. That's a terribly lame joke that's been going around lately, and I figured I'd just...
All right, well, thanks, guys, for listening.
So what do you think about this one? I mean, one thing I noticed, people popped up on the forums and kind of worried, and I think Iowa State fans, they come from a place of not... We typically don't have depth at the quarterback position or good depth. So they look at it and say, okay, we have Park, we have Nolan, Moore's coming in this year. Man, this guy's coming on. I mean, what's the point of bringing him in here? And I think me and you are on the same page, and the coaching staff obviously is too. They need a kid in every class, balance the classes out. Nothing wrong with competition. In fact, they embrace the competition.
Right.
And really, he's only going to be competing with Zeb and Moore because – he's going to redshirt his first year, and Park's going to be the senior, and Park's going to be the starter, you know, unless Nolan takes it from him. So,
which I doubt at this point.
Yeah, it'd be real surprising. I mean, if it happens, I think it's probably a good thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it means he's really good.
Right.
But, you know, I think it's from a balancing the quarterback position in the classes, I think it's great because we've talked about it many times. When the staff showed up here, there was not a lot of balance. There wasn't any depth, and there wasn't any quality depth for sure.
Right. Well, and it's just one of those things where if you can keep bringing in guys that are really good quarterbacks, then the guys that are already in the program see, oh man, this dude's pretty good. I got to step up my game if I want to be able to keep my position. And it just keeps pushing people to get better and better. I mean, do you think Alabama they get a couple quarterbacks in that are pretty good and they're like, yeah, we don't care. We don't need any more good quarterbacks. We got three of them already.
They just go and recruit a new five-star every year, man.
Right, exactly.
That's how they roll.
Exactly. They go get another guy that's in the Elite 11 and they keep on doing it and keep piling them in, stockpile them.
And you want a guy that embraces that challenge.
Exactly.
You know, if there's a guy that's running away from it, then you know what, he could probably go play for another program. But I think especially this staff, they love that competition. You even see it in their workout drills that they put up on Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. The workout drills aren't just, hey, we're throwing weights around. They're, hey, we're going toe-to-toe in a tug-of-war with another guy.
Right.
See who can win. Have some fun with it. It's still a hard workout, but let's have some fun and get competitive and see who's got the desire to win. And I love that. We used to do that a lot when I played. My coach would throw out like a wrestling mat, and we're baseball players. And he would say, okay, you two, you're wrestling each other. I mean, you look at unconventional stuff, but it was. The team would get excited about it. The guys were seeing who's tougher, who wants to win more. I don't know. I like that aspect of it.
And I think that you want that competitiveness and the guys coming in to push other ones in pretty much every position. But I would say that there isn't one where it's more important than quarterback.
No, I would agree.
Especially because if you can keep getting guys that are smart football people in – then that can even just help those guys too, because it's just another set of eyes and another brain that can get in there and think football and really help you in, you know, in the week and your meetings and stuff like that, and being able to dissect defenses and all, watching film and stuff like that.
Yeah. And you look back at
and well, and the other thing, if he's on your scout team, I mean, he'd bring a, if you've got him and you've got a guy like Devin Moore, those are two completely different looks that you can bring with your off, your scout team offense.
Absolutely.
You know?
Iowa State's playing against Baker Mayfield, which he'll be gone by then, but a guy like Baker Mayfield, you can put Real Mitchell in there to kind of be right. the guy that wreaks havoc in the backfield and makes plays, and more of a pocket passer, you bring in Moore. I absolutely agree with you. And then one thing to point out, too, is Iowa State, if you look back the last 15 years, there's probably not more than 1 or 2 years where Iowa State plays the same quarterback the entire year.
Yeah. Well, you know, just think,
whether it's injury or they just don't feel comfortable with one guy.
Think a couple years ago where it was like, okay, so they've got Sam Richardson, they've got Grant Rohatch. If both of them got hurt, who's going to play? You know? If now you're at a point where, you know, you've got Kyle Kemp, who's a walk-on, where he could step out there and is a quality guy that can play. You've got Devin Moore, if it's like, absolutely, we have to have somebody to go in there and play.
Yeah.
You know, I think that he's a guy that's got talent. And
absolutely. And Kyle Kemp is a former four-star.
Right.
So he's not your typical walk-on that we've seen in years past. This guy's, you know, he was highly recruited coming out of high school. So I think Iowa State, they've done a really good job of rebuilding that position, and I would say rather quickly.
Right.
You know, between
getting
the transfer and getting a couple high school kids in there. Devin Moore is obviously the first commitment they got when they showed up at Iowa State.
Yeah.
So back to Real Mitchell, though. You know, obviously the knock on him is going to be his height. I mean, he's 5'11". He's not very tall. But you look at that kid's film, A, the kid can fly. Mm-hmm. I mean, he flat out. There's a 98 on one of his highlights. There's a 98 yard run.
Yeah, and that's against St. Xavier in Ohio, one of the biggest football powerhouses in high school.
He blows their doors off.
It was the first play of the season. He went 98 yards.
Yeah. That is, you know who he looked like to me there? Braxton Miller.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's who he looked like.
Well, and this is what.
Not quite as thick, but I mean, he's still young.
You read some stuff from guys like Steve Wilfong that writes for 247. And pretty much the consensus is that if he was 6'2 or 6'3 instead of 5'11, almost every college coach in the country is knocking on his door.
Yeah,
you know?
I hear that a lot, and I'm starting to hate that a little bit. I mean, you're 6'7". If you were 7 foot, you probably would have played Division I basketball, right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that.
Well,
about
I mean,
a lot.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
No, I get it. People say it.
He already had some big time program. I mean, Nebraska had just come in to watch him. I think North Carolina was about to go after him, and they just had the top quarterback in the draft taken on Thursday night. So I mean, some guys that know quarterbacks are getting after him and trying to bring him in. So
yeah, he has good offers too already.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
Northwestern, Illinois, UConn,
South Carolina,
Rutgers,
I think.
South Carolina. Yeah, yeah. And I saw somebody on the forum said something like, oh, we got him over UConn and Rutgers. It's like, well, I mean, he's
towards the end there.
Yeah, he still had some pretty good offers, and he had some other schools that were coming in to watch him.
Yeah.
And this high school that he was at produced Josh Rosen, who is probably going to be one of the top quarterbacks taken in the draft next year.
He'll be a first-round pick, more likely.
I think that I read somewhere that the next quarterback that they have coming up already committed to Oregon, and he plays behind Real Mitchell.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know.
Well, and then the other thing, too, they already have their quarterback for next year with DeJuan Mathis.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've got the quarterback pipeline getting going here now.
They have the leaders of the recruiting class, too. I think you can lean on those guys to go out and kind of help you recruit other players and be kind of a figurehead of the classes. So, I think that's good, too. I think that's key. You saw that with Moore during that first class. Now, I'm excited about him. You watch his film, too. Not only is he fast, but he throws a really nice deep ball. He's got good touch, anticipation. You know, you never know when you get into the Big 12. I always say Sam Richardson's highlight tape coming out of high school was as good as I'd seen.
Right.
And I thought he stunk at Iowa State. Not all his fault. I mean, coordinators changed. His offensive line was never very good. But he didn't have a great career. So you don't know. But I think the kid's got a lot of natural talents that can make him be a good quarterback. He seems to have the it factor. In worst case scenario, Jared, he doesn't work out at quarterback. I think he's a good enough athlete. You could probably put him in a couple different other positions.
For sure. Yeah, that's kind of what I wrote today, a short little column about what his commitment kind of means for Iowa State. And I think the leadership of the class thing is just as important as anything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's just,
you don't think it's going to be one of the two kickers that'll be the leaders of the class?
The 24-year-old kicker, you mean? Or punter?
24, he's 55. He's old.
I saw somebody on Twitter said he looks like Gail Bedecker from Breaking Bad. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that. That actually was pretty good.
Have you finished Breaking Bad yet?
No. Man, if I'm lucky, if I get one episode a weekend. Yeah. No.
Finished it, dude. It's so good.
I'm looking forward to it. I watched it a lot when I was down in Mexico, you know, traveling back and forth, but yeah. I haven't. It's just hard.
Yeah.
Whose phone is that?
I think that must be.
That's mine.
Oh, it's yours.
Yeah. That's my mother. I apologize. I'll turn that off.
Yeah, so let's shift gears a little bit. Do you have anything else to add about Rial Mitchell?
No. I think we hit on everything. I mean, it's a really good pickup for Iowa State. It really is. And
that's the kind of pickup that gets the ball rolling a little bit more even. I mean, they've gotten 4 commitments in 2 weeks now.
Yeah, but 2 of them are kickers. Those don't count. They don't count.
They're still scholarship players, aren't they?
It doesn't count. Nobody cares about kicker. It does not matter.
Whatever, man. I'm just saying the class is going to be small, so those kickers are going to be a much bigger percentage of the class than they would in most classes.
So we didn't talk about the 55-year-old punter from Australia that's coming in. We don't need to hit on it too much. My question is, would you use a scholarship on a punter?
They already are right now.
I know. I've never understood it. Go get a walk-on. Okay, you lose 5 yards per punt, whatever. Iowa State's got bigger glaring holes and needs right now than a punter.
I don't know. I think if you want to get good punters, you got to be willing to put them on scholarship.
And you got to be able to forge their birth certificate, too, to make them look like they're 23, 24 when they're not.
He's an Australian.
We got like a Danny Almonte on our hands right now. We're gonna find out that he's way past his eligibility.
Danny Almonte. I like that reference. That's a good one.
Yeah, thanks. He looks like Richard Simmons' son is what he looks like to me.
He kind of does.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's listened to the Missing Richard Simmons podcast. Have you listened to that one?
No, he's not missing anymore, though, is he? Haven't they kind of found him? Hasn't he kind of popped up and said, hey, I'm still around, I'm okay?
Yeah, he has, but I don't know. I'm not getting into that. But, yeah, let's switch gears to basketball real quick. Iowa State listed among the finalists for Princeton graduate transfer Hans Brace, 6'9" forward from Princeton. I already said that, I guess. But
yeah, no, it's
originally from Germany. Hans.
I would never have guessed with that name. Never have guessed that.
Hey, if they get him, then everybody in our Facebook comments can't complain anymore.
Why?
Finally get the 6'9" guy.
He's not 7 foot though, but that's what they're looking for. If you look, they want 7-footers.
But there was somebody that kept saying, call me when we get a 6'9" guy.
No.
Every time that someone would, I'd write a story about some recruit that say, yeah, but he's not 6'9".
You make sure and go back and tag him then. Go back and look and see the comments and tag him on it. So what do you think of it? What do you think about Iowa State going after this kid? I mean, I guess to give just a quick background, he played 5 games last year before hurting his knee.
Yeah.
The year before he sat the entire year because of a hurt knee. So he's got injury concerns.
Mm-hmm.
The couple years before that, though, he had really, really nice years. I mean, granted at Princeton, a smaller competition, lower level, but he averaged 11.5 points per game, 7.5 rebounds, shot 34% from three-point range, so he can step out and shoot it a little bit. So those numbers right there, not bad.
I'd say as long as he's healthy, he can come in and he'd definitely be able to help you, you know?
Well, I think what this does, too, is I think it tells people a lot about where the coaching staff thinks of for Ray Kazonga.
Yeah.
They're not going out and offering a 6'9 kid from Princeton who's got 2 knee surgeries and trying to bring him in if they feel comfortable having just Cameron Lard, Solomon Young, and Ray Kazonga.
Mm-hmm.
So they look at that and say, okay, this kid can come in and help. And worst case scenario, here's the deal. He'd only be on scholarship for 1 year.
Right.
He's not tying you up long term. You're not going to get in a – let's say you go and you get a Jacobson from Nebraska. He's tying up a scholarship for 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this guy, maybe he might not have the top end that a Jacobson would be, but it bridges the gap a little bit, helps you out in practices, and then you can use that scholarship up in the future year. So for that, I don't hate this move or the fact that Iowa State's recruiting him, but you know, it'll be interesting to see.
I still think that Ed Morrow's got to be the top guy right now that they need to land.
There's no question he's the top guy, but he does nothing for the team for next year.
Well, yeah, for next year.
Yeah.
I'm just saying in general.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I would almost argue that he'd be a bigger pickup than Shaiok. I like Shaiok.
But I think that he'd only be a bigger pickup really because he would have 2 years to play, you know.
Yeah, it seems to be a position Iowa State struggled a lot more to get.
Yeah,
that's,
for sure.
I mean, Iowa State seems like they've been able to go out and get guards that can come in and produce at least lately.
Well, I mean, Solomon Young and Ed Morrow on your front line.
It's not bad.
That's pretty tough.
Yeah.
I mean, both those guys, they're both pretty thick guys. They're both pretty athletic. That would be a pretty tough little duo in the front court.
Yeah, they have a little bit of toughness to them.
Yeah, definitely.
Wouldn't it be nice to, for Iowa State to have that kind of – Iowa State had this competitive toughness that they were never out of a game before, but they never had a down-low bruiser. Like, you come in the paint, you better keep your head on a swivel. It'd be nice if Iowa State finally had that. It's been a long time.
I'd agree with that. Well, the thing with Brace is it sounds like it's still kind of in the early stages between him and – Iowa State, according to Chris Williams, he reported that a little bit ago. They're still kind of talking, no visit or anything scheduled as of yet, but I think they are working on maybe getting that into the works. So that'll be one to keep an eye on here over the next couple days. You got anything else to add?
No. I just, hopefully the staff can, find a plug and play guy here over the next couple weeks or that they can come in and help out because there's a glaring hole.
Jeff Beverly will be on a visit this week too. We didn't mention him. The guy from Texas San Antonio.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and he looks like he could fill a little bit of a hole too. I mean, obviously there's no getting around it. Juicing going to UNLV was a huge gut punch for the staff, for the team, for next year. I'm not willing to write off the season like a lot of people seem to be doing. Like, oh, well, definitely an NIT team now. You never know, man. You sneak a couple wins out that you shouldn't, you're not supposed to. It's not that hard to make the tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Iowa almost made the tournament last year, and they were not very good. Mm-hmm. So...
I will remind everyone to get on CycloneFanatic.com and find your way to our Patreon page.
Yeah.
And get on and, read Chris's article right there in the top scroll of the headlines. And, he kind of explains what we're trying to do with that. Me and him are going to do a podcast here after this one and talk a little bit more about that. If you tweet at me and show that you are a patron, I'll send you something in your DMs. I don't know what I'll send you, but last night I was doing...
We're trying to get people signed up here.
Last night I was doing cute baby animals. This morning I was doing NBA players. I'll see what I can cook up for you.
Not as creepy as I was thinking when you first said that. I just want to say, too, that the response so far from Cyclone Nation, Cyclone Fanatics, has been not surprising, but it's been fantastic.
Yeah.
A lot of support. It's a great community, one that I've been lucky to be a part of here for 4.5 years. And, the one thing I always say to people when I go out and I meet customers and I go and talk to them is that when you come on part of Cyclone Fanatic, you are part of a family.
Mm-hmm.
Not your immediate family, but it's a community. And I really appreciate everyone, all the nice comments people said about Chris and your work and all the great content you guys are putting out there. It matters to people, and people are showing it now when they're signing up and becoming patrons. Am I saying that right? Patrons?
Patrons, yeah.
Patrons?
Yeah.
Patrons, okay. And, I really appreciate it. It was great to see, great response, and hopefully we can continue to get that. Let's get that number over 200.
Yeah, let's do it. If we could do that, by the end of the week, that would be awesome.
That'd be huge.
Especially. One other note, if you enjoy our podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com, get on iTunes, give us a rating. Give us a review.
Only 5-star.
I was going to say, if you want to give us a 5-star rating, that would be more appreciated. But if you give us a 1-star, we'll only hate you for a little while.
Well, one person gave us a 1-star recently.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why? What did he say?
He said that Stansberry sucks.
That's probably right.
No, I don't know what he said. It was obviously probably a Hawk fan that did it, because no Cyclone fan would give us a 1-star.
They would at least give us 2.
Do you know who gave us 4? Didn't even give us a 5-star. Jay Burke.
I was just going to say, that's probably Jay Burke.
Jay Burke. The dude listens to every podcast. You can't wait till they come out, and the guy, he can't even give us a 5-star. If I ever saw that guy around Ankeny, I'll tell you what, Jordan. I'll tell you what.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Chris and I will have another podcast here shortly. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks again to Heartland Flags.